Let us pray. God of grace, keep us steadfast in your word that makes us Christ's disciples and teaches us your truth. Keep us from following false gospels that lead us away from you. By your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Jesus, reassure us of our forgiveness and salvation in him. Remind us that we are accountable to you, so that we never trust our own efforts to achieve salvation. Teach us to be still and to know that you alone are God and Lord. Show us and all people the joy that comes in following your ways instead of yielding to the ways of the world. Come to the rescue of all people in need. Comfort them with the promise that you, the Lord Almighty, are with them and will never forsake them. We pray especially for those who have asked for our prayers, including Ron and Rosemary King and their family as they mourn the death of Ron's mother, Eileen, and Kay Rittinger and her family as they mourn the death of her husband, Bill. Father, fill these grieving hearts with reassurance, with peace, and with comfort. We pray also for those who are facing or recovering from health concerns, Robert Waldron, Trevor Sullivan, Scott Pariseau, Jasper Sugg, Laura Anderson, Paul Cobb, Grace Whitelaw, Lenore Stevens, Daniel Sawyer, Jane Tylenda, Ken Lang, Bob and Ann Minock, Marilyn Stargard, Betty Owens, Kara Laramie, Ray and Dorothy Meyer, Rose Laramie, Cloyce and Marge Horton, Gloria Peterson, Helen Hotaki, Diane Gasper, Susan Hollingsworth, Bev Holsing, Cheryl Timlin, Bob and Linda Goldthorpe, Richard Cobb, Fred Rohrbach, Ann Harper and Mike Schinnebarger, Priscilla McFall, Mary DeVoris, Tom Gray, Brooke Garrett, Gary Kane, John and Eunice Smith, Karen Barker, Linda Yaji, Giovanna, Ian, Heather and Dick. And Lord, we continue to pray for those who are in hospice care, Mr. Cagle and Ron. Grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. We pray for the president and all local and world leaders. Lord, grant them wisdom and courage to lead well and in the best interest of all the people. We pray for those who are serving our nation in the military and also for those serving our Lord's church in the mission field. Father, watch over and bless them. We celebrate with all who have birthdays and wedding anniversaries this week. And we especially give you thanks for the flowers on your altar given by Norm and Mary Ellen Martin, and also those given by the Stargard family in thanksgiving for the blessings of 27 years of marriage, and those at the lectern given by Ray Johnson in loving memory of Grace Johnson and Grant Johnson. We celebrate and rejoice and thank you for the families that are sponsoring the Family of God Soup Kitchen this month, the Wolf, Cowger, and Grove families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. The text for our meditation and reflection today is a portion of Paul's letter to the Romans, the 3rd chapter, the 28th verse. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Obviously, we're celebrating the anniversary of the Reformation of our Lord's Church as spearheaded by Dr. Martin Luther 5 centuries ago. Beloved in Christ, tomorrow is the 499th anniversary of the day that a monk grabbed a hammer and a nail and went to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed 95 propositions that he invited the church of that day to debate with him. And this grew as a result of Luther's reading and studying of the Bible, the Lord's holy word. Next year at this time, the Lord's church will be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Perhaps some of you gathered here this morning are booked for one of the many trips and excursions that will be made to the homeland and particularly to the locations where the Reformation of the Lord's Church began to unfold. At the heart of the Reformation of the Lord's Holy Church was the critical matter of how a person is justified before the righteous God of creation. How a person receives the gift of eternal salvation. And how somebody like you and I are reconciled and forgiven by the Lord of life. To better understand the nature of Almighty God's work in our lives as His children, we, with the sainted Martin Luther, are led by the Holy Spirit today to the 3 great solas of the Protestant Reformation. Sola is the Latin word for alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. And sola scriptura, scriptures alone. Our justification as sinners before God always begins with God's grace and never, ever begins with something that you do. Grace is God's undeserved favor, His disposition toward you and me, who by nature are sinners deserving not of God's favor, but of God's righteous justice and His punishment and condemnation of our sins and our rebellious disobedience against Him and against His Word. As sinful people, you and I cannot, by our own fallen reason or human strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him. Martin Luther wrote those words in his explanation of the 3rd article of the Apostles' Creed in his catechism. You and I don't, and you and I can't, earn or deserve God's favor, or His forgiveness, or His salvation on works that we think in our own minds are acceptable to Him. Our inherited sinfulness obligates you and me to an unpayable debt, a debt of sin, a debt of sin against Him. And only the Lord God is an act of pure, unadulterated grace and undeserved kindness can reconcile sinners like you and me to Himself. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by God's grace as a gift. And so we discover in the first great sola of the Reformation, sola gratia, that by God's grace and by His grace alone, we who are sinners are forgiven. We who are sinners are justified by Jesus Christ, not because of our good works, but because of our Lord's saving work on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of your sins and mine, and for our reconciliation with God, and dear friends in Christ, for our eternal salvation. The vast riches of God's grace, as Luther would preach, are accessible to sinful people like you and me, but only by faith. The essence and power of this faith, faith that receives God's gifts, as the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews makes clear, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. True faith, saving faith, faith that saves sinners like you and like me, is faith that clings desperately for life to the word and the promises of God. Sinners like you and me are saved by faith alone. Interestingly, the thing about faith is it's never alone. Faith has to hang on to something. What does your faith hang on to? It has to say, hang on something like Christ. For only Christ can save you and me. And it's only by faith that you and I have access to the infinite grace and mercy of God. Martin Luther would teach us that the special work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to faith. And once He has brought us to faith, to then preserve us in that faith. That's a place we cannot go on our own. Because you see, by nature, you and I are spiritually blind. We're spiritually deaf. We're spiritually dead. We're spiritually enemies of God. And at the time of the Reformation, many people thought that good works needed to be added to their faith in order to earn and to secure God's forgiveness and their eternal life. Luther made it clear, however, that good works don't, in and of themselves, constitute saving faith. As Paul would write in today's epistle reading, a person is justified by faith and faith alone, apart from the good works of the law. And so the second great sola of the Reformation is sola fide, by faith alone. You and I, who by nature fall far short of the glory of God, are freely justified by God for the sake of Jesus Christ through faith alone. As Martin Luther would write, saving faith looks to absolutely nothing except Jesus Christ, the Son of God, given for the sins of the whole world, more importantly today, given for you and for me. And this faith goes outside of itself and clings to Christ alone as Savior and Redeemer and trusts Him alone for all things. The third great sola of the Reformation of the Lord's Church is sola scriptura, Scripture alone. What a blessing it is on a day like today to see third grade children receive their own Bibles, something probably Martin Luther could have only dreamed of in his day, that children would also be able and led to receive the Word of God that comes in the Scripture. There is no other written source in all of creation that holds the power and the truth of God's Word. No written source in all of creation can claim divine inspiration by God Himself as He worked through the power of His Holy Spirit. The Lord God reveals to us that men chosen by Him were given by the Holy Spirit to record the exact words God instructed them to write. Not general ideas that they fleshed out, but the exact words. You know, many people in life think that, well, much is relative, open to many interpretations, a matter of each individual person's opinion. Martin Luther and the other reformers believed and taught that in the end, only God's Word, only the Holy Scriptures could be trusted to reveal absolute truth as given by God Himself. You see, in Luther's time, human reason, church tradition, canon law, and other things were on an equal standing with the Scriptures, with the authority of God's Word. And that notion led to all kinds of church teachings that grew out of the fantasies of sinful people. Fantasies like purgatory, praying to the saints, indulgences, and about the importance of the Bible in our lives as God-redeemed people. Martin Luther would teach you and me that the profoundest mysteries of the supreme majesty are no longer hidden away. We don't have to wonder about them or guess about them. They are now, Luther says, brought out of doors and displayed in public view for all to see. Christ has opened our understanding that we might grasp the Scriptures and that the gospel is preached to every person. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola scriptura, the Bible, the Scriptures alone. You know, especially as Christians today, those of us who identify ourselves as Lutheran, we can, on this Reformation Sunday, give all of our thanks and our praise to God for using His servant, His chosen individual, at a specific point in time to bring Christ's church back to a clear focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ as revealed to you and me in God's holy word. Against all other teachings that distort this precious, life-saving, sin-forgiving gospel, you and I today can join Martin Luther in declaring, "Here I stand." In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We rise to sing the offertory.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here celebrating the Festival of the Reformation today, and we're so glad that our choir and our brass and everybody can chip in and really enhance our worship with all the added music that we have. Pastor Randy will be teaching the new member class this morning during this service, and so we will miss him, but he'll be back for the late service. So if you want to see him, just come back again for the second service. We'd like to draw your attention to a couple of announcements in your bulletin this morning. First of all, on the front page of your bulletin, we are currently in the process of conducting our annual Thanksgiving food drive. There's a table for that purpose out in the town square near the nursery, and if you would like to bring food in for that, you can do so over the next few weeks. And then right under that, notice that next week we will be celebrating All Saints Day, a very age-old tradition in the church, and we've been doing it here at Redeemer for a number of years. Please know that if you have someone who is listed in the yellow section in your bulletin, make sure that you come to that service. There are candles that will be lit, and you probably remember that service very well. It's very moving. On the next page, Men's Ministry has an event coming up real soon, the fellowship breakfast coming up in a couple weeks. Men, make note of that. And let's see, a couple other things. Time change next week. That's something you'll want to be particularly tuned into. We fall back, correct? Yeah, so we'll look forward to seeing some of you weary-eyed, but we'll have a seat for you anyway. And again, thanks again for all of the added music, men and women, and we invite you to rise for our opening hymn.
Thank you.
begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Please be seated. At this time, we invite forward the third graders so we can bless their new Bibles. Come on up, guys. Come on up. All right, I'm going to have you stand right behind me here. And we're going to face the people out there. My goodness, do you know what it is you're holding in your hands? What you got there? You've got a Bible in your hands. And where did the Bible come from? Who gave us the Bible to begin with? God did, yeah. What is in this Bible? All kinds of words, huh? Yeah, whose words are those? These are God's words. That's an incredible thing. That makes this book more important and more unique than any other book in the whole world. Because this is the only book that has God's own words in it. And if you ever want to know what God has to say about something, or what God's people, how it was they had to live, or if you want to look in there for prayers or psalms, those are all in your Bible, but they come from God. He's the one who told people what to write, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my sermon this morning. But today we want to say a special prayer of blessing on your Bibles. So let's fold our, well, you got your hands in your, hold that Bible tight. Dear Lord, what a great gift it is that you give to us your holy word, just as you would have it for us. And we thank you that that word has been brought together in the Bible. For God, we know that no matter what we encounter in our lives, when we need help, we can turn to you and to your words in your Bible. We thank you for people who print this Bibles, and we thank you for all of the people who will help us learn from these Bibles. Dear Lord, bless us and be with us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wow, your own Bibles, what a gift that is. And at this time, I want to ask the rest of the kids to come forward. You guys can have a seat right here. Okay, I need a couple of helpers. Okay, set your Bible down on this, just in front of you, Grace. Make sure you get yours when you get back. Stand up here if you would. Grace is going to be a door. Okay, Grace? You're a door. Now, we're going to put something up on the door. Okay? So I want you to hold that. All right. All right, let's see. What else do we need? We need a person to pretend that he's Martin Luther. Okay, You want to come up and be Martin Luther? Now, you got to be really careful with this hammer. And this nail. You ready for this? Yeah? Okay. Now, a long time ago, almost 500 years ago, there was a man named Martin Luther. He didn't look quite like this, but sort of like this. He was a monk. He was affiliated with the church. And Martin Luther started reading the Bible very carefully and discovered in the Bible that some of the things that the church was teaching long ago weren't really right. And so Martin Luther decided he wanted to point out some things that the church wasn't getting right. And so he typed up a whole bunch of statements. And so we need to switch out your up for debate to that one now. Now on this piece of paper that he nailed to the door, there was 95 statements. And he wanted people from the church to come and debate those statements with him, so that he could point out where the church was going wrong. Did you hammer the nail yet? Good. Okay. So that changed everything in the church when Martin Luther did this. He did it in Germany, in a town called Wittenberg, and the door was the door of the castle church. And so that's what you are. You are the door of the castle church. And you are Uncle Martin, but don't use that hammer yet. And so we call this special day because it changed the whole church. It reformed. Reform is a word that means change. Changed the whole church. And so we call this day Reformation Day. And on this day we remember what Martin Luther did. And how wonderful it is, because Martin Luther also read the Bible. And as he was reading the Bible, God helped him understand the truth of the gospel, which is God loves the world so much he gave us Jesus to be our Savior. And when Martin Luther really came to understand that, he began a whole new set of church teaching, helping people get it right. And so today is a very special day, and this is why those of you that got Bibles, get them. Okay, can we pull the nails out now? Okay, pull the nail out. Ouch! Oops. Yeah. All right, well, thank you for helping me out, and God bless you guys on this Reformation Day. And I think today when you go to Sunday school, you're going to get a little booklet today that tells you a little bit more about Martin Luther and the Reformation and the door and the hammer and the nails. Thanks, guys, for coming up.
The first reading for today is taken from the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Here ends the first reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires work? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Here ends the epistle reading.
Thank you. The gospel reading this morning is recorded in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Here ends the gospel reading. We join together in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our sermon hymn.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.